My guest today is Ani Piligian, inventor of the Jewel Tool. Her enthusiasm is contagious and just one of the reasons why I enjoy spending time with her, whether we're recording a podcast, filming TV shows, or catching up at a gym show. Listen in for a peek behind the scenes of Ani's business and hear how she approaches life with bravery and gratitude. Ani, I'm so excited to have you here today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Katie. I am so excited.
I'm so happy that you said yes, because I know you are a very, very busy person. And, you know, almost all of our guests are super busy, but you are like the queen of things going on.
I try to keep it moving. Girl, I got to keep it moving. This day and age, you just got to keep it going. So I'm there for my customers. I'm there wherever I can be. But after you called me, oh, girl, for sure I wouldn't miss your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you. We have a lot of stories we could tell about knowing each other over the years, but I want to start out with how you got in the business, because when I met you, I knew nothing about any kind of power tools in the jewelry studio. I was mainly a bead jewelry person. So getting to know you, I learned a lot, and you grew up in the business. Aww. So tell us how that all went down.
Yes. So, you know, there is a reason for me creating the Jewel Tool. Okay. So my dad had four daughters and I was the appointed son. So he would take me to his jewelry manufacturing, like every weekend, whenever there was no school, I would go there. And so I learned how to be a jeweler, like a bench jeweler, a maker.
Did you want to? Or were you like along for the ride?
I did. I actually found it interesting. And, you know, I was a little tomboyish. I know you wouldn't think that by looking at me, but I would play bumper cars with the boy. I'm still a tough chick. You know, gotta keep that. But for the most part, like some people think that, you know, you have ballet as your after school activities. My dad would have the bus pick me up after school and take me to his jewelry facility right after school every day. And I would drive home with him when he finished work. So a lot of people don't know that about me.
Yeah. So what kinds of things were you doing?
I actually learned how to solder. So my first soldering was, oh my God, I think I was like 10. And so you learn a lot by watching. People think, oh, I need to do a hands-on class or whatever. No, a lot can be learned by just watching. Once you watch, then you can apply, you know, the hands-on approach. But a lot of information can be taken with your eyes. So I learned that. And of course, you learn how to polish. Everyone starts off with polishing. So
polishing really is your home. It's where you live now, too.
Yep. But I always was frustrated, even as a kid, saying, my God, there has to be an easier way to polish. Like, why do I have to do everything by hand before polishing? And then those big polishing machines scared the behoovers out of me, girlfriend.
With a good reason.
Yeah, they wanted to take me, the ring, and everything with it.
Right.
So that's, you know, kind of how I created the Jewel Tool, because I was thrown in that world, you know, so I needed a better alternative.
So when you created the Jewel Tool, were you working actively at the bench even then? Or was there a space between kind of leaving jewelry for doing something else and then coming back? Or did you stay in jewelry the whole time?
Stayed in jewelry the whole time. I mean, I was even pregnant with my first daughter. I was pregnant and I was working on the bench and I was polishing. I'll never forget. I was on a split lap machine and a big machine while I was pregnant. And I, you know, as I got older, I started to really say, there has to be a change. Like, really, no one has thought of anything better. And I waited, you know, so now I'm in my 20s, pregnant, still on the machines, you know, old fashioned machines. So it was, I would say, you know, my later 20s where I said, you know what, we really got to do something, you know, something better.
Yeah. What was the first step of creating that? Did you do a drawing or did you start imagining it with things you had around the shop, or how did you?
so conceive I wanted, of it? That's a good question, Katie. God, you're so good. No wonder they have you doing this. No, so basically, no, honest to God. So since I was around a lot of jewelers and a lot of manufacturers, they really wanted something small. They were tired of the large polishing machines that took up some, you know, expensive real estate. No one had space for these monster machines.
And just the stuff that gets into the air and everything. It's a huge volume.
Huge, huge. You know, the dust, you know, the workers would end up with, you know, dirty nostrils and dirty fingers. And it was just not a good way to work. So they needed something more efficient, smaller. So I said, okay, I got to now think of a small polishing system. And so the reason why I created the Jewel Tool, why it's vertical, is because I really wanted to expand that whole see-through action. Because, you know, detail work, you need to see what you're doing, honest to God.
Yeah. Right. Had you experienced that with like the Fordham, where you can kind of see through the bristles as it's going? Or did that just pop into your head, oh, we could do this way?
No. So I actually worked on a split lap machine. And, you know, a lot of people are not going to know what this is. And to work on a split lap machine, it's basically a large wheel with four slots in it. And that gives you some visibility, but not a lot. I wanted crystal clear, and I wanted more than just polishing something flat and something that anyone could do. Because a split lap machine, you know, everyone throws that around like it's no big deal to work on. But in actuality, Katie, you need years of experience to work on that machine. And not every polisher can use it. So I think that a lot of people don't know that. It's very important. Yeah, I was good at it. People would bring me things that no one else could do, but I didn't want it to be exclusive. I wanted someone to be getting amazing finishes with zero experience. And I shrunk it down and I made it easy. Yeah, and I made the wheels interchangeable because that system, you can't really interchange the wheel. Once you put a wheel on, it's pretty stuck on, you know, because you have to keep it nice and even and true. And the Jewel Tool just makes everything easier, you know. I just wanted something that would do more than one thing. How about that?
Oh my gosh, it does so many things. I mean, how many discs and pads and various things do you have to attach to it now? It's a lot.
A lot. You know, because remember, my partner is 3M. And 3M, you guys, has like this library, like a catalog of all sorts of amazing products that they've, you know, engineered. And it can work on glass. It can work on enamel. It could work on plastics. You know, so they have their hands in all these industries. And I started to figure out recipes of how I can utilize their products and adapt it to what, you know, we are all making, you know. So if someone's working on enamel, you know, or want to grind down a bead and turn it into a cabochon, that's been quite popular, by the way.
Interesting.
Did you know that, Katie?
Yes. No.
So cabochons, if you buy a cabochon, it's more expensive, you know. So basically you got the dome and then a flat back. And so now someone could like set it, you know, in a bezel. So my ladies have discovered, I love them to death, that if you get a bead, and it could be like, you know, a rose cut bead or even a round bead. And if you grind the back down flat, it becomes this amazing cap at a fraction of the price. And you can even grind if they have like a pre-drilled hole at the top, like a briolette, you can just grind that right off and no one would ever know it was a bead. And like I said, fraction of a cost. So we've done lots of videos on those.
I bet. Don't you love seeing what people come up with for you? Oh. You created the kernel of this idea and that really, you know, made it possible. But then people are just jumping off of that and making all kinds of amazing techniques.
They are. It. You know, and what I love most of all is when people tell me how easy it is on their hands, their wrists. There's been a little post on Facebook, and just as of yesterday, ironically, and I've been reading like people's testimonies on how the Jewel Tool has helped them. And I see this over and over again, that they're not getting any older and younger, and their joints are not like they used to be. And so the Jewel Tool is really aiding them in not making things worse. Like their backs don't hurt, their wrists don't hurt, their hands don't hurt. I like that. That's been a surprise to me.
Yeah, that's the a real comfort, gift. The comfort. Yeah, a gift for them from you, but also to you to hear about that, that those possibilities came from your tool. Well, why do you think that it makes it easier?
One of the comments was, she started off saying that she's handicapped. She had been involved in a drunk driving accident, which left her whole right side pretty much numb. And she says if it wasn't for the Jewel Tool, she would not be able to polish her pieces, because she says that, you know, just because she doesn't have full use of her hands, one thing she has full use of is her vision. And the ability to see in detail what she's doing has given her like a whole new lease on her making ability and making jewelry. So I got goosebumps for crying out loud. Oh my God, just talking about it. So these things really touch my heart. People don't realize that, Katie. I'm one girl here who had a dream of creating something that would help other people. And so when these people say things like this, they don't realize how much it means to me. I know you know that it means a lot to me because you're my friend. But people who just see me from the outside, they don't know me.
You do a lot of different live events, and you do a lot of stuff online where people do get to know you, and I think they feel like they know you.
Yes, and I love them.
Yeah, and you do love, and you love on them too when they're there with you, and really show them what to do. And I've been with you at a trade show booth before where you have taken a piece of jewelry right out of someone's hand and like polished it up right then, and do your talk about the tool and show them, you know, what you're talking about. And I think people might not assume that you're still a maker yourself.
Yes.
You know, you consider yourself a maker after all these years of being tool inventor, badass woman, you know, you're a maker.
Aw, thank you, Katie. Yes, I still make jewelry. I've actually made a lot of cool things. So last year during COVID, as soon as it hit, we started to do live shows. Like we're talking like every day, except Sunday and Monday, live shows, and I would teach them how to use the Jewel Tool, and we would make projects. So that kind of sprung like that creative kind of thing in me. And then I was soldering just last month, and everyone's like, oh my God, teach us your techniques. So now we've set up a soldering station here at Jewel Tool. So I'm going to be filming live videos and showing people my techniques on how to make jewelry, because I forget that I have so much knowledge to give freely, because I don't care. You know, some of my jeweler friends get quite angry with me when I expose all sorts of techniques. They're like, ooh, you know, honey, those are tricks of the trade. And I'm like, well, you know, my ladies need to learn this, or my men, you know, I have no secrets. I expose everything.
Well, I think that it gives them the power.
Yes, it is. And you know what's interesting is, you know, knowledge is power. And everybody who's been learning from my videos have actually said this to me just last night, saying that, you know, with you teaching us, we have so much knowledge now. And they knew how to answer, like the naysayers, let's say. You know, there's always someone that's going to pop up and say, oh, you can do that. Okay, that's fine. But everyone would tell them the advantages. And I felt that was so powerful. These women are empowered. Like, I just was so proud. Like, not only for the Jewel Tool, but just as a craft of learning how to finish properly. It's such an important need. It's an important step. You know, Katie, like everyone spends time and money on learning how to make something, but no one really teaches how to finish it. It's got to look pretty. You know, it's got to look finished. People got to feel it. They got to say this is well made. And I'm there for them. I'm there to teach them. You know, I want them to have better finishes than Tiffany and company. So
there. It's really important, like you said, for it to be durable too. And I think that's a piece. The fun part sometimes can be the design. You know, coming up with what you want to do and seeing all the cool things that you can do with your Jewel Tool. But then the real hallmark of a master craftsman is in the finishing and that it is going to last for a long time and that it is properly done.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, you ultimately, you know, whatever you make, you either want to sell it, want to give it to a family member, a friend. So you need to be proud of it. As a jeweler, we used to say, you know, you can make something, the jeweler can, you know, the maker can make it, but the ultimately the polisher will either turn you into a zero or a hero. So it's true.
So become the polisher, right?
Yeah. You know that. So I always tell people sometimes you didn't make it right. You can fix it and kind of camouflage the boo-boos on the jewel tool. So people don't realize that the finishing actually aids in the completion of your project. It doesn't have to be perfect, perfect when you're done. You can fix it, you know, on the jewel tool. That's a good one. I tap myself on the back on that one. That was a good one.
Well, it's kind of coming full circle for you because, you know, starting out, growing up in the shop and making and then creating this tool and really spreading yourself out to teach as many people as possible what they can do and sharing all of your ideas and then kind of coming back to enjoying the making process again. You know, does it feel like there was a moment where you knew you were really going to have to spend more time on the business of your business than the jewelry or tool side of your business?
Yeah, you know, I always say this, if you're working on something you want to do, you really have to devote your time and effort into that one thing. When you spread yourself thin, you know, on so many, you know, projects, one is going to suffer. So I couldn't do, like I did a jewelry line with Jewelry Television.
I remember.
I couldn't continue with it, for example. Yeah. Look, see, the phone's ringing right now. Like I'm at work, you know, who knows? It'll be, you know, so I had to give my full attention to my baby, the jewel tool. And with that involves making sure everyone, you know, knows how to properly use it. I'm there for everyone. Everyone can attest to that. And like I was saying, we still are doing the live shows every week on Facebook and on YouTube. And we're trying to implement Instagram too now. It's a lot. I really work hard to make sure I manufacture good products that actually work, you know, that I would be proud to use myself. And that's why 3M is my partner. The best of the best of the best.
That was going to be my next question is, did you have to get up some bravery and gumption to go to 3M and say, I have this tool. Can we be partners, please? Or how did that work?
No one really has asked me that question. So anyone who wants to hear the tea, you know, grab your little cup of coffee and listen closely because 3M is not as friendly as you think they would be. You would have to go through a gazillion people to maybe hear what you have to say. But fortunately, I was working with some influential people with 3M at the time when I was wanting to create the jewel tool. And I expressed to them my ideas. And they said, that is a brilliant idea, Ani. We love the see-through ability. Actually, our team, listen to this. This is where you sip the tea right now. Our team has been working on a see-through disc and have been unsuccessful because the abrasives like won't stay on. They tear off and they just won't work. And I said, well, I kind of figured out a solution to that of why, so that doesn't happen. And they're like, really, we'd be very interested in partnering with you if you can get that to us. So here you go. Ani quickly goes into full on. We got to create this
production mode.
We have to do this production mode. And then everyone's telling me, well, you know, you can't just show it to them. You have to make sure they sign a non-disclosure agreement or file your patents, blah, blah, blah. So here I am, no money yet. No, just a thought in my head. And now I'm filing patents and now I'm, you know, paying engineers to give me a design. So it went into full speed ahead and they were very instrumental in getting this moving. Yeah. And not to mention the vice president at the time, Rosa Miller, was very supportive of this. And so she loved how I worked. She would see me at the jewelry shows selling jewelry, working, and she gave me a full green light and supported my endeavor, my dream.
Oh, that's amazing.
God bless her. I love her. She retired since then, but I still communicate with her. She's like amazing.
Oh, that's great. How wonderful to have a mentor that actually, that you then also work with in this and partner together to create this product and build your business, really.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
She told me, she goes, you're not going to be like all the other moms out there. She told me, she goes, so she actually gave me really good advice. And this is great for any woman that's working out there to include your children in what you're doing so that they can see that mom, grandma is a little different than the rest of them out there. You know, so she encouraged me to bring my kids to trade shows, encouraged me to, you know, be, have them involved. And sure enough, they were out there selling the Jewel Tool before you knew it. They were, I didn't hire any help. It was my kids that would be the, you know, write up the orders. So that was a great advice she gave me. And I appreciate that one.
That was great advice. I'm going to take that one too. I try. I mean, don't you think that being an entrepreneurial woman and a mom and a wife and all the other roles, I mean, it's hard sometimes.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to do everything.
It's very hard to juggle it all. I try. I always tell my kids, listen, I'm doing my best. I'm not going to be perfect all the time, but if I land a good one, give me some credit. Cause you know, kids always want to give you, always want to boohoo on what you failed at. And I'm like, give me something. I'm trying. So it is difficult. Sometimes I stress myself out, like, are you sure you want to, you know, introduce this new product? Are you sure you want to do this? But I look at who's going to use it and is it, if it's going to benefit them. And if that, if I get that yes on if it's going to benefit and make their life easier, I'll split the sea just to do it. You know, I'll just go through, what is it, the parting of the water. I'll like do anything I have to do to get it done. So I'm committed. Katie, I could have just created a jewelry line, made it successful, and just went on my married way and just wouldn't care. But I care. I truly care for everyone. And I really want them to have a good experience as making jewelry. I really do.
Well, it shows. And I think, you know, you have a real focus on education that a lot of companies don't have. But a lot of companies aren't you. You're you.
Yes. Thank you. So, I appreciate that. You know, someone actually said that when they said, a comment came in and they said, you know, well, Ani supports us and gives us amazing tips and advice and instruction. And a guy goes, why do you need anything? It's pretty self-explanatory. And like, you know, basically he was just talking about a conventional system. And I was like, that's not true. You really need to learn, you know, as a polisher, as a finisher, you're always learning. So I didn't like that. Thought that was not nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much against everything you stand for right there.
It's true. That goes against all my Ani laws.
Yeah.
So I wasn't, yes, you have to give, you know, and you have to be willing to learn. And everyone has been amazing. So I just love my tribe. Our Jewel Tool community on Facebook is where it's happening. So anyone has any questions about the Jewel Tool and you don't want to hear it from me, I don't blame you. A Jewel Tool community group on Facebook is a great place to go. They're all Jewel Tool users. And some don't have a Jewel Tool, you know, they just kind of want to see what people are doing and, you know, making with it. So
they're checking it out. And I think this, you know, it's an investment. And sometimes it takes people a little while to decide that they really need it, you know, but when they hear what everybody else has to say, I'm sure it's inspiring. Now you have some new products coming out that I wanted to ask you about because
somehow you
managed to touch on like the two hot things in jewelry making right now.
Yes. Well, you know, we try to hit some hot things. So we have two products that will be launching, like we're talking in the next week. Like it's so like, honest to God, you're like breaking news right now, Katie, because I'm really going to launch this. We are launching our solid flat top lapping discs. So this will allow people to, like if they work on stones, they can work from the top, you know, so they can work just like a lap and it would be working on top and the wheels run nice and smooth. And of course, we use the 3M diamond abrasives on them and we will expand to other grades as well. But that has been something people have been asking since I created the Jewel Tool.
Well, lapidary is really popular, and I think it's also kind of intimidating. It feels like secret techniques that people pass from generation to generation.
Yes. Oh my God.
So yes. if your people can, you know, our people can do it on the Jewel Tool, then that, I think it makes sense why people are really into it.
Yes. And so it's going to be, it's so when the wheels spin, they're like smoother than a faceting machine. Like that's how like calibrated and true Yara really has worked on the Jewel Tool and made. And not only that, so we're going to do that. That's going to be like, I would say, a lot of stonework, that kit. Then we have something else that we're going to launch that goes hand in hand. This is our new graver sharpening. So anyone who's doing any kind of stone setting, you know, engraving work and want to sharpen their gravers will now be able to sharpen them using the GRS jig system with their angles and whatnot. So I have partnered with GRS and we're doing a collab and they are going to produce the angle setter that goes on the Jewel Tool with the flat top disc. So now the Jewel Tool will become a graver sharpener.
That's
and
so
a
cool.
faceter. So you can actually, instead of putting a graver in there, you can put like a stone on like a little dop stick. And mm-hmm. now you can set your angles and facet a gemstone. Yep. On the Jewel Tool.
That's amazing.
Yep.
I feel like that's going to give people a lot of power to bring it into their own home studios.
Yes. I agree. One thing, it's affordable. So it's not like you have to go out and invest a whole new GRS sharpening system. You know what I mean? So it's a fraction of that price, for example. Then instead of a faceting machine, the same goes. You can turn your Jewel Tool into a faceting machine with a gazillion different degrees and different angles to choose from using the GRS system. And then, yeah. Oh, and then one more other tool that is in the works, where it's not ready for completion, is our stone cutting attachment.
Oh,
this
nice.
This is like a diamond blade that would slice a gemstone and create slabs. And it's safe on your hands. I'm all about safety, you know.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
I know you are, especially at shows when you just leave your hair hanging right next to the machine and nothing bad happens.
No, I trust and believe, Katie. I get a lot of, I call them the safety police, which safety is very important to me. Now, if you don't believe safety is important to me, I spend extra money. I spend extra time in research and development. And this all costs money to make sure the Jewel Tool is a smart device. And when I say smart device, I mean like if the Jewel Tool feels a tug, like let's say, God forbid, shirt, bracelet, necklace, hair, something got caught, which it wouldn't, but it could, okay, depending on what people can throw in, the Jewel Tool will automatically stop. Boom.
I didn't know
no
that.
No more dead stop, really. So sometimes, I've spent a lot of money to just get that feature included in the Jewel Tool. Now, does a Fordham have that? No. I joke with the owner of Fordham. He's a very good friend of mine. And he's like, well, that costs extra money, honey. I'm like, well, you know, I think my people deserve it. So that's included. And, you know, we have the visor to protect. We have the vacuum for dust collection. So I'm all about safety. You know, you got to use common sense. You won't ever find me leaning over, you know, the Jewel Tool as it's spinning. Majority of the time when I work on it, I'm a good foot away from it. You know, you don't have to hover and hug it and like breathing down the
right
the face of the disc. So I know my limitation. I know what is proper etiquette and proper safety measures around.
You're your very own safety police.
Thank you, Katie. I am my own safety police.
Crazy. Hey, you mentioned Yarrow earlier, so I gotta ask you about him. This is your husband and partner in crime.
Yes.
I didn't know he's an engineer.
He's actually an industrial designer.
Oh, sorry. And industrial designer.
It's a mix, he says. So he's like, it's a mix. He wears many hats. But one thing, and you know this, Katie, you think I'm a perfectionist? Oh, my goodness. He is the perfectionist, like to the point where sometimes I don't want him around when I'm doing a live show because he's so meticulous on how I show something and how I articulate my words, and everything has to be perfect, perfect, perfect. So yes, he goes self-diagnosed OCD.
Is he behind you right now?
he's actually shooting some behind the scenes images. So I'll post those later. But so just so you know, like it goes through a lot of testing before we put anything on the market. And we run it, we do things like mass production. So none of these things are made like in my garage or something. You know what I mean?
It's a big manufacturing run.
The caliber of when we go into production for something, a lot of money has been put into it. And you know, even the Juul tool, we have it now available in Europe. We had to have CE approval. Like, things got to be done. It's not like, honest to God, Katie, if someone told me you have all this to do while you were thinking about that little dream of a little Juul tool washing machine, I don't know if I would have continued because it's a lot. People don't realize.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, now that you brought it up, I have to ask you, if you were going to daydream yourself a new thing, what would you do?
You know, I'm going to have to say, I love what I'm doing. I love my community with the Juul toolers out there. I have met the most amazing people, and they're so talented and so creative. And I just relish their feedback. They mean the world to me. They really do. I know people say, oh, she's a good salesperson. She says things, but I really believe it. And you know me, Katie, you know, I say things as it is, sometimes a little too much, you know what I mean? But
I like that about you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I like that
we were get to know me. You'll know.
We were at an event together, and I remember you were saying that you were awarding a Juul tool to one person.
Yes.
And yes, there were hundreds of people at this event. And you turned to me and you said, I never give anything away for free. Yep. But I can't wait to see who wins this, or something along those lines. Yes, and then I noticed when you went up, you put your hand over the bowl of names.
Yes.
And you were just like standing there for a second. And I thought, what's going on? And afterward, I asked you, and you said that you just ask that the person who needs it the most will win.
Yes, I did. I got goosebumps just thinking about it again. Katie, I remember that, you know, and I actually ran into her not that long ago, Tucson's ago. And she was still grateful to the day. She says that she had dreamed of getting the Juul tool, but she knew that she would not ever have been able to afford it. And it was crazy because she said her husband had just passed away and he always wanted her to get a Juul tool. So it was his dream for her. And I just was bawling.
Yeah, how could you not?
But I did. I did. I did. And I said a little prayer before I grabbed the name. I do. I always do that. You know, that's why I don't believe in those automatic number selectors or name selectors. I just feel like I have to feel it. You know what I mean? As I'm grabbing their name. I don't know. Call me weird. Call me whatever. Whatever.
No, I like it. I mean, I think I like the idea. I think it's really beautiful that the person who needed it the most really was there to win. And that was so cool of you to do that way.
Yeah, that was so long ago. But it's true. I do not give Juul tools away. I appreciate you saying that, Katie. In the tool industry, people do give their tools away to get a good, like a review.
A good review. Oh, yeah.
Someone to promote it. And I'm not that person because I even made Chip Foose pay for his two Juul tools. I don't know if you know who Chip Foose is, but he's quite popular in the automotive. Like people wait in line, like around the block to just get a picture and autograph with this guy. And I was like, yeah, you want a Juul tool? Sure. This is how much it costs. So yeah. And you know, you won't see that if it's on Instagram where someone's using a Juul tool, these are all people that have earned it. I don't give it away for free. Nope. I want an honest review. I feel like the tool can you know, speaks for itself. I don't want someone forced to say something nice about it, or like I feel like it's a bribe.
Yeah, you want to get their real review, and I think too, yes. You know, it's also showing them to value their own work.
Yes,
because you don't give your work away for free.
Yes,
it's, you know, teaching by showing, teaching by doing. Right, is that
yes?
You know, we are building our work is our livelihood, so we need to put yes. value on that.
Yes, absolutely. And I encourage everyone, your work is your livelihood. Your work is, you know, an extension of who you are. You know, I feel like it's not honest. Plus, I don't want anyone to say, oh, that person got a free jewel tool. They're better. No.
No bad feelings.
Yes. No hard. Exactly. Yeah. I like fairness. And if someone wants me to give them a jewel tool and pay them $10,000 just to promote it on their thing, well, I'm going to have to pass.
Might not be your mode of advertising at this point.
No,
yeah.
No,
yeah,
but
maybe not.
Do you know how many tool companies do this? And I'm like, whatever floats your boat, but I don't.
Well, what is one of your favorite pieces of jewelry that you've ever made or repaired or polished or worked on? Is there something spectacular that sticks out in your mind?
We actually worked on that time, you know, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah.
So Axl Rose was engaged to Stephanie Seymour. Okay. And I was in high school and my dad was commissioned to make his engagement ring.
Wow.
And yes. And it was from antique. She wanted a vintage ring. So we had to reconstruct this antique ring, and it had this huge pear-shaped diamond with heart-shaped Burmese rubies, and we had to put that together. So the two heart-shaped rubies were on the sides with the pear-shaped diamond, and it was just so intricate in the detail work. So I enjoyed working on that piece because it had like that vintage quality to it. It wasn't your mainstream.
Something different.
And it involved a lot of skill because when you have to restore something old, you got to preserve some of the details. And of course, I am like a solder crazy person. Like my solder has to be perfect and everything on that ring, like one false move and you would destroy the details of like the mill grain detail of the, you know, vintage design. And it was just a labor of love. And I was so excited. I was doing it for Axl Rose. So that is one of my cool pieces. However, my dad did set the pear-shaped diamond because I was like in high school and there was no way he was going to trust me. And you got to see the point on that pear-shaped diamond. One false move and there goes the whole diamond.
Game over. Did you listen to Welcome to the Jungle the whole entire time while you were working on it?
Yes. We all, even my dad's employees who had no idea who Guns N' Roses were, they all found out who they were. So that was a fun one. That was definitely fun.
Oh, that is really fun. Well, this has been great. I just love talking with you, Ani. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, you are so welcome. Katie, I appreciate this time. Really. I just love chatting with you. I feel like two girlfriends were sitting there talking and everyone else just got a little ear into what our conversations are like.
But yeah. Next time let's do this over sushi.
Yes. Sushi girl. We'll do it. Yes. And thank you everyone who took the time to listen. I really appreciate it. Really, truly. Thank you.
Thanks, Ani.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and review Jewelry Artist on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Jewelry Artist is a production of Golden Peak Media and Interweave. It's hosted and produced by me, Katie Hacker. We had help from Tammy Hahnemann and Merle White, with special thanks to the team at Lapidary Journal Jewelry Artist Magazine. This episode was recorded and edited by Daisha Clay. Our executive producer of podcasts is Jared Mayer.